Grace, greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 8th day of May. I'm your host, Paul White. Thank you for joining me today as we continue looking at the book of Zechariah through a new covenant lens, hitting the highlights and hitting those highlights because we've done the book of Zechariah verse by verse. I told you a few days ago that we did it on the DDP. I didn't have dates for you to go back and look it up. I just challenged you, hey, go back, look it up. It was at least a couple of years ago we did Zechariah verse by verse. But much thanks to our partner and friend and listener, Jan Metz of Poplar Bluff, Missouri, who contacted us this week to let me know. And she either did the deep dive or she takes notes. In any case, thank you, Jan. She has let us know the dates of our Zechariah study, so I'll pass them on to you in case you want to go look at this fantastic book verse by verse. Go find our podcasts beginning January 12th, 2019, through April the 5th, 2019. That's, nearly 4 months, February, March, and nearly 3 months it took us to work through the book of Zechariah, January 12th, 2019 through April the 5th, 2019. Thank you, Jan, for that. And I'm sure so many DDP listeners are thankful that you did that work as well. It gives us an opportunity to go find those verses. Well, you will discover, if you do that, you will cover all of the verses of Zechariah through that study, but you will discover that we slowed way down in that study when we arrived at chapter 11, because chapter 11 of Zechariah, in my humble opinion, is one of the most important prophetic chapters for the understanding of the New Covenant in the entirety of the Old Testament. The reason I say that is because chapter 11 contains a prophecy of the rejection of the Messiah. In chapter 9, I told you yesterday, in chapter 9, verse 9, behold, your king comes and he'll be lowly riding on a donkey. And I told you that Jesus fulfills that when he arrives at Jerusalem in Passion Week. He is the king. He's not recognized as the king, but he is the king. And you and I receive him as king, not only as Lord of our lives or our hearts, but we receive him as king. In that, we believe he is king over the kingdom that is our lives. Okay, so we accept that readily. Zechariah's audience doesn't know that, and they're not ready for that. So when he arrives at chapter 11, he's continuing to prophesy, and he prophesies of the shepherds, this group of goat herders from chapter 10, that God said he was going to punish those goat herders, those leaders, because they weren't taking care of his sheep. They weren't doing their job. And in verse 4 of Zechariah 11, God says that he was going to feed the flock that had been meant for slaughter. The NIV brings that out better than the New King or the Old King James, by the way. It's not the flock. We're not feeding the flock in that they're not being slaughtered by what they're being fed. They're being fed because they're the ones that are being bred for slaughter, whose owners slaughter them and feel no guilt. And so there's this prophecy that begins to unfurl in regards to these terrible goat herders, these bad under shepherds. These are the leaders in Israel, that they are fattening the flock to simply kill them, that they're not taking care of them. As that prophecy unfolds, this is why I want to connect chapter 11 to chapter 9. In chapter 9, Israel is it's prophesied that her king's going to come riding on a donkey. Jesus is that king. They reject Jesus as their king, but Jesus is that king riding on the donkey. Instead of Jesus, who do they prefer? Well, now they may say that they want someone from the house of David sitting on the throne. But if they say that, it is simply as a nod to David. It's not because it's truly what they're looking for. And when they say throne, they mean the literal Caesars and kings of the earth, not the throne room of their heart. Israel, the Judaism of the Bible and the Christianity of today are looking for two different things. We think in terms of we have a king who's Lord in our personal life. They looked at it in terms of we want a king who is king on actual thrones. And remember, when God warned Israel away from a king, what he was really warning them away from was fashioning the king as a literal person instead of as a king over their hearts. It was God's design not to be on a literal throne, but to be on the throne room of the hearts of his people. Now look at Zechariah 11:6. I'm no longer going to pity the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord, but I will give everyone into his neighbor's hand and into the hand of his king. They shall attack the land, and I will not deliver them from their hand. Now, he's been talking about these negative shepherds, these under-shepherds that don't take care of their stuff. And notice he says, I'm going to give them into the hands of their king. Remember what we said in Zechariah 9:9. Behold, your king is coming to you riding on a donkey. Here's the problem. They don't want him. So they reject Jesus, and the prophecy of Zechariah 11:6 is that he's going to hand them into the hands of their king. Who is their king? Fast forward to John chapter 19, when Jesus is brought before Jesus is brought before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate says to them, behold the man, here's the king. And they say, no, he's not our king. We have no king but Caesar. And in that declaration, they fulfill the Zechariah 11:6 prophecy. I'm going to hand you over to your king. Who's your king? Oh, Caesar? Well, guess what? Then Caesar's going to be the one you're handed over to. And within one generation of the death of Christ on the cross, they were handed over into the hand of their king, Caesar. And he conquered, destroyed, and ruled them, and it was a direct fulfillment of what they asked for from the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 11, verse 6. Now, this is why I take so much time. We took so much time in that 2019 study of Zechariah. It's why I take so much time and effort in this journey, because the stuff that's coming out of these next few verses are really some of the foundational things for why we believe in the efficacy of the new covenant over the old. So stay with us the next few days. It's going to be a lot of fun. Real quick, as you leave, and I'll talk more about it tomorrow because I kind of ran myself out of time, but I want to encourage you to watch for the full-length sermon drop tomorrow that is titled, What the Spirit Says to the Churches. And it is from Revelation, and we deal with a smattering of the seven churches. I'm going to give you more details tomorrow. I apologize, I didn't get to it quicker, but look for What the Spirit Says to the Churches on our full-length video and audio drop for Sunday. See you tomorrow. God bless.